Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. I have a really special episode for you today, and this is an interesting one. We obviously are going through a very difficult Ravens season in terms of the number of injuries. Have a couple of guys on here from Brazil that I met on one of the 25 Years podcasts that have a very interesting business they're trying to start with regard to diagnosing possible sports injuries before they happen. And I'm going to let them tell you a little bit about the story, but I have with me Ricardo Tancredi and Felipe Tancredi, both from Brazil. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Ken. We're good.
I'm good. Pretty well. Thanks for the invitation.
We're thrilled to have you here. And it's just caught my eye in terms of, or my ear, I guess, in terms of the previous discussion with Ricardo was on a 25 Years episode. But tell us about the history of thermal cameras in terms of their use in sports. Why don't you start with that, Ricardo?
Sure. Well, as Ravens fans, we know how the injury bug can be costly sometimes, right? We know that injuries bring a lot of costs, like directly and indirectly into sports. They are part of the business, but what we're trying to do is avoid those injuries that can be prevented, which are basically the soft tissue injuries, okay? There's no way you can prevent a trauma injury from happening, like a ACL or so on, but definitely you can do something about soft tissue injuries, like, you know, pectoral, hamstrings, and so on. So this is how the whole thing goes. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, thermal cameras start being used in sports, okay? The idea was that the muscles and the soft tissue, they will irradiate temperature that will be reflected in your skin, your most in the surface of your body, the skin. And with a thermal camera, you could somehow see and follow up a player and see if the skin temperature or your muscle temperature was varying, was shifting through time. Okay, so that way, if there's a muscle that's overheated, it could be an indication that there's a possible injury. There's a possible injury in that area, and if you don't overload the player with too much training, too much big load of work, you can prevent the injury from happening.
Okay, so you use a thermal imaging device. And you take a picture, and one of the things you told me off camera was that this has to be exposed skin.
Yes, it has to be exposed skin because that's how the muscle will be reflecting in the skin, right? So if you have clothes on, we couldn't see the skin of the player, and that would prevent us to say anything about it because there's a layer there that we can't go through, and the whole thing would be just wrong, just be completely off.
Maybe we'll ask Felipe this question because I know he's the guy who really understands the physiology of this at a very high level. Is that a solvable problem, working through an American football uniform to try and get that that thermal imaging to give you answers? So I'm wondering about this. I mean, obviously, probably is something about the way the heat is trapped underneath the uniform messes up what you're doing.
That's correct. You need to have an exposed area. So the human body acts like a lamp. It's like an infrared lamp. We lose heat through sweat, through breathing, and also through radiation, as any body in Earth. So with these thermal cameras, we can look at the heat transfer of the body to the environment. And following that profile of infrared radiation, we are able to get subliminal injuries, like it's an inflammatory state. Anything that goes wrong in your body heats up, right? So these cameras can provide a window into these problems. So as Ricardo was saying, that we look into these images a long time, and of course, with our algorithms, we're able to get these subtle changes a long time and pinpoint problems that may happen if we overload your body. So going back to your questions about uniforms, unfortunately, I don't see, at least at this moment, any way to look in through your uniform. Because the uniform is a way to trap the heat close to the body, as any clothes that you wear, like a coat in the winter. So we are trapping, you're trapping temperature. So it becomes an isolator. So I cannot look into that. It's not an X-ray vision. It's a thermal vision. So I need to see something irradiating this infrared radiation.
Okay, so I wonder if it would be a case of there's a uniform technology that would allow you to see through it, because that's one possibility. Or possibility number two is the artificial intelligence improves to the point where you can read how the heat is collected within the uniform in a different way that's more advanced and would give you more information about that muscle. Either possible?
Yeah, well there is research using thermography to look at different uniforms and how they allow players to get a protection, a physical protection when they're playing, and also not overheating. So there's a lot of technology, tissue technology, right? The fabric technology. So we have this special t-shirt, special pants that allow sweat to go on and not be trapped, that you don't overheat. We haven't made any research in this area so far, so I cannot guarantee you that we would have the same profile of someone wearing a new uniform compared to someone with an exposed area.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's talk, Ricardo, maybe go back to you for a second and talk a little bit about the difference in process between what you guys do and what previous thermal imaging systems have done. And pretty quick on this, I have some follow-up on it, I'm sure.
Okay. How things started here was they used the thermal cameras to collect the picture frontwards and backwards from the players. Okay. But that was a very mechanical process. It took very long time to get any answers from that. So the players would line up, they would take a couple pictures, each one. Then the physiologist would have to take his memory card, plug it into his computer, tag the pictures appropriately, so put the right names and so on. And then there's one thing here, Ken. They would have to draw what we call the region of interest, which is the muscle itself. And that was a very mechanical problem.
Okay, so just to be clarified, we're talking about Brazilian soccer teams that are lining up. So conditions are fairly optimal for that because soccer uniforms are much more scanty than football uniforms, much more exposed muscle, upper and lower body that could be used to do this. I guess most soccer injuries probably also lower body injuries as well, more commonly, right?
Definitely. You're correct, Ken. So those pictures were taken before practice, and like you mentioned, like the uniform is there's much less uniforms, and it's a lot easier in that perspective. But the whole process was lining up, taking pictures, transferring to your computer, renaming it, tagging it correctly.
But you mentioned also there was a human interaction component with this that was taking time.
Yes, and the whole thing here is between taking a picture and getting an actual number to your picture. That was a process that would take anywhere from 24 to 48 hours because 20 players, a lot of players, a lot of renaming, a lot of drawing. That's one of the things. It's a repetitive work by a human being, and there's always room for error because you know how drawing from a mouse is not easy by any means.
Right.
And that's where we come in, Ken, because we teamed up with a physiologist, a very renowned physiologist here in Brazil, who had like a whole bunch of pictures. Felipe can correct me if I'm wrong, but over 10,000 lower body pictures, which we used to train the AI system to recognize what a right leg is, what the left leg is, where it starts, where it finishes, and being able to kind of to draw those regions of interest, those muscles, and get an actual number from those muscles saying, okay, in this part of the body, the temperature is, I don't know, 35 degrees Celsius, 32 degrees Celsius, and so on. Okay, that's how we automated the process. Something that was taking too long, we put it in one minute. Less.
Just describing the old process really kind of reminds me of American radiologists. And I don't know if folks out there know this, but not all doctors really want to work for a living. I'm probably going to get myself into trouble with this. But if you want a career where you can still maintain your computer gaming habit, being a radiologist is a pretty good call because they work from home, typically get images sent to them. They have to interact with those images. They get paid a lot per procedure, per image they look at. And they said this back. And this sounds a lot like that in terms of the need to take a lot of steps individually and requires a very highly trained person to do that, which is the other component. And I think one of the other things you guys mentioned in our off camera with us was the production lining of this. One of the things you want to do to keep the cost down and keep it reasonable, keep it fast, would be to have people who are not ultra qualified or over qualified to run the equipment.
Yes,
that's correct. That's the way we think we will popularize this incredible imaging modality to have it less operator dependent. So we have a known expert on the other side taking care of the shooting and to collect the images, of course, following a certain constraints, not a lot, but given that it is, or at least we consider that an imaging, a medical imaging modality, have certain taking care of the how we frame the subject, how we position it in front of the camera, like the keeping the same distance, avoiding people to be skewed, so you have straight legs, the same way we do it's executed in a regular radiology modality, but less dependent on the operator. And we are trying to replace that component of the analysis. So if we compare to this teleradiologist that you were saying, we wouldn't need the radiologist to read the image. So it's already separated, separated, analyzed. So we have only the numbers for someone to interpret and get a decision on that. So we take we're trying to get rid of the manual part, and it's not a problem at all. It's desirable because it becomes more reproducible at the end of the day, and people can concentrate on what is important, which is to read temperatures from specific parts of the leg and get an interpretation of what is going on with that part of the muscle instead of pinpointing or picking temperatures with your mouse, as Ricardo said, like treating that with your computer, PC computer.
It's okay, already so done. You're specifically saying that it used to be that somebody would look at maybe a heat map of the muscle or something, and they literally put a dot on the or a circle around the areas that were of concern at that point?
Yeah, that's correct. And in my point of view, it was like that was very prone to error because statistically we are talking about picking pixel points. And even if the person picks a small collection, it's not statistically significant. So now we look into the whole histogram of temperatures and get a more populational analysis of the whole group of pixels in your leg. And we recently developed a technique which is, I think it is incredible for the next version of the software, where we can overlay images of the legs. For now, the legs, but we're expanding that for the whole body, where we don't even need to get temperatures because the software already overlays a series of images of the same leg and piles all those legs one on the top of the other and get a profile, a temporal profile of the player. So if anything goes wrong, we get an image that already displays what is going wrong at that specific moment.
Okay, so you mentioned getting a baseline on players, and is the overlay image a way to get a set of deltas on temperatures for
exactly.
those areas?
Exactly okay. that.
Wait, you can, my audience understands. You can just explain it to them.
Exactly. I'm trying to. Right, I have a background in MRI, and I've used it to do that like on my daily basis. I collected images, and I needed to register these images one of the on the top of the other, and when I get like images from different people with different anatomies, I had to look for algorithms that could put all of those images in a template on an avatar, and that's what we're doing now. So I think in terms of a football team, if you have like a position. Quarterback is a single guy, but I don't know the positions, right? But someone that stays on the back of the field, so you may have like a dozen of
safeties or
safeties.
Defensive
so we
backs.
Have all the legs of the safeties one on the top of the other, so we can look at deviations on that basis, on the basis of the guys from that position specifically, in a long time. Okay. So your image is no longer just a radiometric image, an infrared image. Now it's an image that displays differences in the temperature profile of your player as well as of your group of players. So that's a feature that we want to release like mid-January.
Let me try and restate that and make sure I'll be parroting it back to you, make sure I have it correct. So you have your cornerbacks, and there are two outside corners and two safeties on the field. And let's start with the cornerbacks. You say, okay, I want to look at those guys and maybe the guys on the other team as well. And I want to create a baseline for each, and then I have an overlay of each of those baselines. Then I also would have an overlay of where they are in the game that would give me deltas from the baseline for each of them, but also a difference between those deltas between two players that play the same position.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. We already achieved that offline. We're putting that and packing that in the next version of the software. I think this is the major difference of our software.
If I can say something like that's one of the things that some of our clients. Are using the software, and one of the things that we've noticed, like, I just want to give an example, like, translating to America, to football, but let's say, like, in preseason, the corners last year, they suffered a lot of touchdowns, whatever, on passing plays, and the coaches are overloading those corners with some specific training, and that's going to reflect in some specific parts of your body as a group. And that's where the medical team comes in and say, okay, coach, hold on. We don't want to get scored on passing plays, but hold on, you're gonna injure the entire defensive back corps here with your excessive training on some specific drills here. Mm-hmm. So hold on. Let's do some extra exercise or whatever. Like, let's adjust training so we don't injure our players in pre-game training camp and going to the season like all banged up and stuff. That's one of the things that we've done. Like, we separated by groups so we can understand like excessive training.
And who is more subjected to pick or identify the players that are more subjected to those injuries? So
susceptible to them. You mean?
Well, like someone who has like a subliminal injury, and we know that from history that that type of training overloads this specific muscle that the guy is showing that is harmed, or it's a harm. So this person would be spared from the training. So like the physiologist already knows that. He knows that the person that should be spared from a specific training, he will be able to train or to pass through other trainings, but not that specific training that is known to overload or to load or to produce extra heat in a specific part of the muscle. So we need to correlate which type of training and which muscle someone has, like it's showing that it's compromised. So we this is a way to prevent something from happening.
Okay, so let's move on to what I think is the last stage of this is, what would this look like in an NFL training camp? So if you guys were able to sell this technology, say, to American football, and it seems to me there might be a couple obstacles to it, including what the collective bargaining agreement says, if they want infrared cameras on players and whatnot, or you know, maybe it's just something players don't want, and it could potentially be an obstacle for that. But what would it look like? You would have several rooms of cameras to process 90 players as if they're going through an airport. Tell me kind of what it would look like at the start of a training camp practice.
That's a very good picture. That's what I have in my mind, to have these cabins, and the cabin is already protected. So we have cabins, but our clients already provide that. But of course, if you may have like a booth or something that prevents or guarantees privacy for someone who can expose their body, and we have tags that goes on the top of the automatically on the top of for women on the top of the breasts, and for men and women on the sexual parts,
pelvic area.
I'm sorry, my English is rusty. But we can protect privacy, and it's a robot who is doing that. And the person just goes there as if they were passing through this checking booth in an airport. And that's it. Before, after the game, and after the game, it's already, we can check if there was something really wrong or that needs to be a problem that needs to be tackled. But that is just pre-post, always.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything about the actual heat of the day that would throw off any? Is in-game imaging possible, first of all? And I think I thought we had this discussion with Ricardo. Is it possible to take pictures in-game, not during the game by sending someone to the locker room, but actually in the game while on the field?
Possible. It's so many things are possible, but we don't have that ready to go. It's difficult. We need to match algorithms, AI algorithms that can follow the person in the field and body pose, so we can extract. It's difficult because you have an articulated body, so you're moving. It's not always that you have your body like in a anatomical position as we are using to collect the images with someone standing with their arms down and legs straight. But of course, everything is possible.
Okay, interesting. Not well, fascinating, guys. It's been great to hear from you. I did not mention your qualifications before, but Ricardo is an economist, former MBA at UMass, has a business degree in I'm sorry, I missed what it is. Sports management.
Sports administration. Sports management.
Sports administration. Okay, yeah, and Felipe. A PhD. I know we have a lot of these on this show, but a PhD in MRI specifically, or MRI is the specialty within that?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm specializing in MRI. I was a neuroscientist before I founded Hotspur.
All right. And biomedical engineer professionally?
Biomedical engineer, but professionally.
Yeah. All right. Outstanding. You guys are very impressive, and I think your product has something that just seems very interesting to NFL teams in terms of how they would do it. I'm trying to think about before and after pictures and when you'd bring these in, but certainly it's something you could do at halftime. It's a relatively short process.
It's a short process.
To do that. And then,
It's one shot. You just go in front of the camera, get a shot. 12 seconds, you have the result. Okay. So I don't see a problem. We need a specific place for the person to get to have the picture.
All right. Guys, really appreciate having you on. Ricardo, Felipe, is there any place you want to give that whether it's on Twitter or whatever, where people can either talk football with you or talk about your product?
Sure. If you want to talk football with me, I'm at Ricardo B10, TAN. If you want to look into our product, you can access www.calvin.plus. So Calvin is KELVIN.plus, PLUS. You can also access our, we have a profile on Instagram, and LinkedIn as well, or you can access the website for the company, which RadSquare, RadSquare.ai as artificial intelligence. Felipe?
Well, those are the addresses that people can reach us. And I hope you like it, because we love the technology. I'm sorry for my English. Fortunately, I have my brother with me, who's also an American, and could rescue me. Thank you so much for your interest and for our opportunity to talk about our technology in your podcast. Thank you so much.
This is very interesting to us. I mean, we're American football fans, very frustrated with the number of injuries, especially soft tissue injuries that seem to crop up during all training camps. But I think, you know, we're specifically sensitive to the Ravens injuries, and I'd love to see something applied. And Ravens are always ahead of the curve, so you never know. We'll see how this goes. Anyway, guys.
Thank you. Just an interesting fact here. We both lived in Baltimore. Actually, I was born in Baltimore, and Felipe lived there when he was 1, 2, whatever. Our dad was taking his PhD from
Johns Hopkins.
Johns Hopkins. Felipe was little. I was born there, and he's a Colts fan. I'm pretty sure.
Is your dad still around?
Yeah, he's alive. He's good.
A psychiatrist. He's good. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure meeting you. Other folks out there, if you have a 25 years episode, hit me up on Twitter, single message, want a 20-minute topic that we can talk about in some depth. Thanks for all the interest in that program as well. Ricardo, Felipe, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken.
So much.
Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study. We'll be right back.